What's up, you guys? Sean Ross at FightfulSelect.com. This is the Backstage Report podcast for July 27th. First off, I want to profusely apologize for a couple of things. First being my voice, which you guys can hear now. I lost it on Friday before I got on the plane to Denver, and it just wasn't going to come back while I was in Denver, not with that dry air and all that stuff. It's recovering a little bit. I'm not sick, although I do really appreciate the well wishes that some of you have sent me. I really appreciate that. And a big thank you to Denise Salcedo, who carried the show last night. But thank you guys for watching and listening regardless. I'm hoping it'll be back to normal by tomorrow, but I got two shows, so I'm doing them. But thank you all so much. And also, I want to apologize for the show being late. I don't like doing late shows. If anything, I do them early, as most of you know if you subscribe here. But I just want to apologize for that, because ideally that's not the way that things would be. With travel resuming, obviously that will happen here and there, but you will get your content. That's the bottom line. You guys are going to get everything that you pay for and more. But I want to thank you guys so much. And let's go ahead and get to the big news. And I know, again, feels like I say this every week, there's going to be a ton of you that are new here and you have no clue what this show is. The Fightful Backstage Report podcast is about 15, 20 minutes of me going through the exclusive news that we have reported over the past week and adding some more detail to it, adding some more clarity to it. If you're an aggregator and you have any questions about like some specifics of what I mention or say on here, don't hesitate to hit me up. That's the nature of wrestling, and we'd rather it be clarified than not clarified. But the big news that we reported last week is that CM Punk has been in ongoing talks for a return. Now, I had seen some people say, oh, well, this has happened before. And we'll have some more on that on Fightful Select over the coming days, maybe the next week. But this is a little bit different than then. This is not like a, well, this is how it is per usual. No, it's not per usual. They are very far along in talks, from what I understand. And again, I'll be able to shore up a little bit more of that, but I reached out to AEW, couldn't get an on-the-record comment about that. Just have heard that, yeah, sure, they've had ongoing talks. We have no confirmation of a contract officially being signed. I need to specify that. When I have asked, as of last Friday, I was told that it wasn't signed as of when people had last heard of it. I do not talk to CM Punk. I can't get an answer from Tony Khan on that, and I don't have eyes on the contract, so I cannot report that a contract has been signed between those two, and it'd be hard for me to believe that anybody else could really verify that at this point. But there are some advanced talks that have gone on, and I'll have more on that soon. Now, as with any negotiations, nothing's ever fully confirmed until the deal is actually done, the subject appears on screen, all that stuff. And even then, we've seen stuff like Randy Savage and TNA that just went awry immediately. Now, we had heard of other companies having interest in Punk coming into work after fans returned, but hadn't heard of any specific offers or overtures made toward him until I learned about an ROH overture, so to speak. When Marty Scurll was the head of ROH, he had just got that role. He asked somebody to sort of feel CM Punk out, see if there was any interest there. It didn't end up happening, obviously. But Ring of Honor was interested. And yeah, So, I mean, at least it shows you that ROH was at least making an effort. Even, I don't know if it was a half-hearted effort. I don't know if they really had a lot to really offer Punk, but I was told that the conversation was more about creative and planning than it was money. Again, that was how ROH felt. I don't know how CM Punk felt. I wish I could interview him on this subject, but I don't think that's going to happen anytime soon. As far as his return, AEW is the likely landing point, obviously. I think we all know that by now. No confirmation on a timetable. And I know everybody says, oh, All Out, that's easy. No, it's not easy. It's not confirmed. It's not set. They've got a pretty wide base to select from there. Do they want him to debut on the Dynamite before All Out to create some buzz? Do they want him to debut on the Rampage before All Out and say, hey, you better watch Rampage. You better have your eyes on this new show that we got. Or do they want him to appear at All Out? I mean, there's so many options. It's a very exciting time. And it was so funny. I remember when Punk had tweeted that thing about like, oh, the Dirt Sheets need to pay me money as much as they use my tweets and stuff. Buddy, it's going to happen a lot more. He is still a megastar. He hasn't wrestled in 7.5 years, and he's still a megastar. And there are some that have even said, oh, well, this is not going to be for in-ring, is it? It's going to be for commentary. I mean, I'm sure he'll do commentary at some point. This is for an in-ring return. An in-ring return. What a time to be alive. And there are also a lot of people that talk about his age. That ain't a factor. Look around wrestling right now. On the subject of AEW and AEW signings, Thunder Rosa officially signed with AEW in a surprise move. Now, it's not a surprise that she got signed, but that she could sign considering her NWA contract ran through this year. However, a buyout of that deal was orchestrated, though we weren't sure of the specifics. That it was AEW buying out that deal. And I had to specify, because I heard that there was a buyout. So I had to ask all parties. I'm like, listen, I'm trying to find out who the buyout was from. And the person was like, what makes you think NWA would pay AEW money to take her away? And I was like, well, they hired Tyrus. How can I sit there and be sure of their line of thinking? Like, I don't know. I don't know if Thunder Rosa had bought it out or AEW did, but it was AEW. But Thunder Rosa had requested her NWA release as far back as 2020, but it was rejected. And I had been told during the process that Tony Khan and AEW had been very particular not to contract tamper and wanted to play by the book on the situation. And Tony Khan and Billy Corgan had worked together directly. So there was an awful lot there that finally made this deal happen. And Thunder Rosa is over the moon about it, as you can tell. While we're on the subject of AEW, the Pinnacle Inner Circle feud kind of rolled on. And there's a highly anticipated match between FTR and Santana and Ortiz taking place next. And Fightful learned that this specific matchup has been slated on the billing for this Charlotte Dynamite since at least mid-May. At least mid-May. So that kind of highlights the long-term planning of a lot of AEW's booking. And I had somebody say, oh, well, did they plan on FTR not wrestling in a 2-on-2 match during that period? Hardly at all. Well, no, they didn't, because they didn't plan on Dax having like his entire arm destroyed during that period. But I was told in early 2020 that some AEW programs, books, or matches and feuds were booked months in advance. And obviously the pandemic threw a big wrench into those plans. And there's nothing anybody could have done about that, but we're told that much of what was planned last year actually happened. And to further that, we're told of a singles program in AEW that was already set for the fall a month ago. For post All Out. Plans that went awry. That's Rob Gronkowski, that WWE Romans cut short last year when he decided to return the NFL. And I interviewed Mojo Rawley, and he hinted at some stuff that was planned. So I went around and I dug. And the Gronkowski run was supposed to lead to something at SummerSlam 2020 with Mojo. And the line of thinking being that Gronkowski would have been a huge draw in the Boston area where he played for years. And we've been told by WWE sources that the door is open for a return, but that WWE would not be surprised if the angle or a future relationship with Gronk is not seen through. Some WWE news. There was a report that Shane McMahon produced the Money in the Bank ladder match. That was not true. It was Shane Helms and Jamie Noble that had produced that men's Money in the Bank ladder match. I just wanted to specify that, as there was some confusion there, and I saw some people that were like, oh, Shane McMahon doing that work. It was Shane Helms. We also heard about the mandatory Performance Center training that really, one, it was controversial in the first place because, I mean, these are top-level stars in WWE, but then Bayley got hurt. Now, there were a lot of people that thought that it was mandatory because and were really targeting WWE because of that and the injury. It wasn't as mandatory as they specified. Talent Relations made it clear after the uproar backstage that if talent had a personal reason for not attending, then they could not attend. And there were a lot of people who didn't attend. I was told that almost all the WWE female talent made the trip in, and they were put over specifically by a lot of their male counterparts for doing that. But they were told that if they had a personal reason, it would be taken into consideration. And when it was taken into consideration, they just didn't have to go. Randy Orton hasn't been around a while. He's been sidelined. We've been told he's on the disabled inactive list during that period. There are no issues between Orton and the company, and the hope is from all sides that he'll be back in time for the August 2nd episode of WWE Raw. There were some significant creative plans in order for Randy Orton and Riddle through SummerSlam, but the unforeseen circumstances of that absence required that an audible was called. Things weren't so hot backstage in NXT. There were a lot of talent that reached out to me and staff that were frustrated about Karrion Kross's booking on the July 19th episode of Monday Night Raw, where he lost to Jeff Hardy in 90 seconds. One talent told Fightful that it felt like a message was being sent, though they didn't elaborate on what they thought the message was. There was significant frustration from those that we spoke to about how Finn Balor, Adam Cole, Johnny Gargano, Oney Lorcan, Santos Escobar had worked hard to make Kross look as dominant as possible. I didn't get a lot of, oh, we made him look good. It was, we made him look dominant, we made him look even more physical than he already was, type of thing. We heard that Kross appeared to be in good spirits backstage after the match, though one talent that was present did say that Kross was put in an unfavorable position considering his spot as a protected talent on one brand and a new talent on another. So he's got to play that really smart politically. The person that I spoke to was like, what's he going to do? Come up to Raw and immediately complain to Vince McMahon about how he's booked? The odd thing is Vince McMahon can respond in multiple ways about that. He can take you off TV for months at a time and people will forget about you, or he might like it, which he has in the past. Unusual situation for sure. We spoke to Raquel Gonzalez. She confirmed that Vince McMahon was at the Performance Center recently. She had planned on continuing her pursuit of the NXT tag team titles, and she said that the unveiling of those tag titles was actually a surprise to her. She said that she would have loved if Nikki A.S.H. cashed in on her and wanted to work with her in the future as well. Outside of WWE, some Impact news. AC Romero and Larry D were not at the most recent loops in Nashville, but in asking Impact sources, we confirmed that both of those guys are still with the company and under contract. We also had a really fun interview with Mojo. He appeared in the G.I. Joe Snake Eyes film. We're told that he got the opportunity when producers contacted WWE and specifically asked for him. He didn't have to read. He didn't have to audition. He loved the experience of working on the set. He's also seeking out an agent and will be doing more acting. I always thought he was one of the best actors on the roster. He was given the same reasoning as everybody else, budget cuts as a part of his release, but said there's more to it that he'll get into at a later time, but said he's not opposed to doing work with WWE in the future, specifically with Gronk. He also walked through the Vince McMahon story about Vince showing Gronk how to do the dive, and he said that Matt Bloom was constantly reassuring Raleigh and Gronk that it would be safe, but Gronk had just signed a new deal to return to the NFL. Tom Brady and Drew Rosenhaus, his agent, were calling him during the process, which was said to have been really drawn out. And once Vince McMahon did it, Mojo was like, well, now you gotta do it. He told us about reuniting with Matt Cardona at Capital Punishment, and it was being kept a big secret because WWE was very cautious about leaks at the time, and Cardona didn't know the plan to reunite them until Raleigh sent him a text message, and he wasn't happy about it. Also, Raleigh didn't know he'd be winning the Andre the Giant Memorial Battle Royal until a few days before, and he pitched for Gronk to come in once it'd be clear that he was winning that. Injury updates. Unfortunately, Dr. Britt Baker, DMD, sustained a broken wrist on the July 21 episode of Dynamite. She says she's not going to miss any time. Jesus Christ. Get well soon, Dr. Britt Baker, DMD. That sucks. That is a bummer. I've heard that Eric Young is expected back pretty soon. Pretty soon. Don't know when, but pretty soon. And Keith Lee returned to WWE last week after a 6-month absence. It is great to see him back. Maybe not so great to see him losing a couple matches in a row, but it's great to see him back. Contract updates. Thunder Rosa was bought out of her NWA contract and is now signed with AEW officially. In addition to that, Kiera Hogan's contract with Impact Wrestling is up, and she will be pursuing her options as a free agent. That's a pretty solid free agent out there. She's got a great look. Her work's pretty good in the ring. Great character. Also, Chavo Guerrero has joined All Elite Wrestling. That's great news. Thank you guys so much. I'm so sorry about my voice. Obviously not something that I planned, but I hope it's better by this week. If it's not better by Q&A time, I'll have something special in order for in store. There you go. In store, in order for you guys. Thank you all so much. Until next time, we're out.